This show is not a substitute for professional counseling. The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Further, any opinions heard on this show are not meant to replace professional healthcare and mental health treatment. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on this show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional help and are a UA student, you are encouraged to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, hey, this is Dr. BJ Gunther. You're listening to Brain Matters. This is the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. I'm a staff therapist at the Counseling Center, and the show is about mental and physical health issues that college students are trying to handle, and it's finally here. Finals week is finally here. And also, this is our last show tonight. We won't be back until probably September, and we'll do, you know, some marketing for the show to remind everybody that we'll still be on. The way the show works is each week we'll have two guests per show with a different topic each week, and we'll have a specialist to talk about that topic. My eventual goal is to have a call-in format, which I'm really going to try to do in the fall, but you just never know. There's been some issues, and so I'm really going to try to get that on the road by September, and that will be a little bit exciting, I think. But tonight we're going to be talking about graduation angst. Graduation is Friday night, Saturday at 9 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and then I think law school is that afternoon. So we've all got a big weekend this weekend. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the job market, because I know there's graduates out there that are nervous about finding a job. This week's guests are Mary Lowry from the Career Center and Dr. Lou Marino. He's a faculty member in management and marketing at CMBA. I want to remind everybody that this is not a call-in show right now, so I ask that you don't call in to the station with questions. Also, we have shows podcasted from the past on the Counseling Center's website at www.counseling.ua.edu. If you want to listen to past shows, and what you do is you click on resources and then click on Brain Matters, and you'll see the recorded shows there, and some of them that are listed are depression, sleep problems, date rape drugs, just to name a few if you're interested. Now, I'd like to introduce Mary Lowry. Thanks, Mary, for being on the show.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
You know, as I mentioned before, I've had several students that you would not believe, you would think they would be excited. And I think in some case they are excited to graduate, but there's that uncertainty because many of them don't have jobs right out of school. And so it's kind of like, how do you look for a job? Are you getting a lot of that right now in your office?
We definitely are. In the Career Center, we're seeing a lot of students come in who, some already have jobs, which is great, and maybe they're coming in to talk about salary negotiation or getting started on the right foot that first year, but we're definitely seeing a lot of students who come in, and they're anxious because they hear that it's taking a while to get a job. Maybe they have some friends who are still looking, and so there is some anxiety, and we try to reassure them that having a game plan helps, to be patient, but to be proactive.
What about services? Now, do y'all provide service after the student graduates? Can you still consult with alumni?
Yes, and I know that some universities offer that, but not all, and so I'm glad to say that UA does. We'd like to say we work till death do us part.
Oh, gosh. Don't say that. Over at the Counseling Center, you don't want to hear that.
In the Career Center, it's safe to say. And you can imagine in 2009, 2010, we saw a lot of alumni because of the downsizing. Mm-hmm. So we do work with them, and I would say the majority of those are recent graduates who are experiencing that delay in the job search.
What is career development?
Career development can be described as the process of connecting your interests, skills, abilities, and career values to opportunities. And when you've done that and you've explored the possibilities that might fit for you, then basically you have a game plan that you try to follow to take the action to get a job. It's a lifelong process because we know that what we might value as a senior in college may vary greatly from what we would value as a 35-year-old. And so it's something that we try to teach students to do, not only for the time that they're here, but also so that they'll know this is something you're doing throughout your life.
You know, I've had students who have gone to the Career Center and taken, is it the Strong Campbell?
Strong Interest Inventory. It used to be Strong Campbell.
Oh, gosh, I'm old.
Well, I know it to be that too, so I'm old right with you.
Strong Interest Inventory, which, explain a little bit about what that is for students who are, who, for listeners who may not know, and then I'll finish my question.
It is an assessment based on interest, so it does not look at aptitudes and skills. And sometimes students will come in and say, I want to take that aptitude test. And so we tell them that this one in particular is strictly interest. And we do hope that they will understand it's meant to be a guide for broader career choice. It does generate a list of careers, but we don't ever want a student just to take that.
That's my question.
Yes.
Because I've had several students in the past who will take that, and let's say they score high, or I don't even know, is it scored? It's not really scored, but they rank high, I guess. You know, careers that are similar, and really, it's number one, maybe not what they're really interested in, or whatever comes up, is it kind of surprises them, or they decide to major in something like that based on this inventory solely.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, gosh.
No, we don't. In fact, that's one reason students have to come back and meet with us.
Okay.
They cannot get the results independently, and not that they couldn't read it and understand
but
it to some degree.
But it needs to be explained.
Yes, it needs to be explained because inevitably there will be careers on their list that don't make sense to them.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you an example, the latest version that is a national product, so the latest version that's out there nationwide, shows bartender.
What?
As one of the jobs.
Wait, we need to edit this out. I'm just kidding.
No, well, we went to a conference and said, hello, we don't want to have bartender on there, but some people, this to my surprise, I was talking to a student one time, and she said, you know, I've really thought about being a bartender because I'd like to own my own bar.
I know.
And so the fun thing, I think, that we do with students when they come in and we look at the results is we say, let's step back a minute. What about a bartender's career or whatever career that may show on their list does appeal to you? Where can you see similarities? So maybe it's meeting new people, customer service. When we take a bigger sort of step back and take a bigger view of it, then they start to see reasons that they connect with that. And really that,
Or not. Yeah.
And that's the purpose, is to look at what are the trends here of all the different results of this assessment, because it covers different categories. What trends are you seeing? What's the theme, so to speak, of your interest? And then we start looking at either majors that would help you develop skills toward that kind of career path, or maybe it has happened that some students will see a position and we show them how to research that occupation, and they really get excited about that occupation. And so for some, they may see something on that list that they go after, but for the most part, and we encourage this, it should be viewed as a tool for helping you identify types of jobs, types of career paths that play to your interests.
What about, do you see a majority of freshmen or seniors? You know, I'm curious, like when you're starting out and when you're finishing up.
We still see that the majority of students we work with still fall into the junior or senior classification, but we're excited that our freshman population and the freshman traffic in our office has increased each year over the past few years.
Well, and this leads me into another question. What is the Career Center doing to get the word out to, like, freshmen? Do you talk to them, I'm sure, during orientation?
We do.
But then when they get here, how do you get to them, basically?
We talk to them at orientation, and that includes their parents. And so sometimes we encourage parents to have that conversation, maybe around Thanksgiving break, whenever it may be, that if they're feeling a little lost in terms of their major, then that's a great way.
That's a good idea.
Good time to bring up the Career Center at that point. RAs are a huge, shout out to RAs, they're a huge supporter in terms of us getting the word out to those freshmen because of freshmen living on campus. There are all kinds of offices that, if I tried to name them all, I would certainly miss, but academic advisors, compass classes, just all our partners across campus really are
helping
us.
Yes. They refer. Yes. We do too at the counseling center.
Oh, yes.
What about students who walk in and actually expect that you are going to get them a job?
We have some of that. We also have students who walk in and say, I need to register tomorrow, so I need to figure out my life today so that I'll know what to take tomorrow. So we first of all have them take a deep breath, and we talk about what we can work on together and what are realistic accomplishments or realistic things that we can try to accomplish. I don't know that any are coming in thinking that we can get them a job. They ask how we can help, and, and we share that with them. I think if anything, we see that some may have the expectation that, okay, I've gotten my degree now. I can walk
here
out.
Here I am.
Yes, tell me where to go get this job. And by the way, I need to be making this amount and have tuition reimbursement and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling you before we went on the air about my first job. And, you know, I got married, and that first year after even getting my master's degree, I couldn't find a job. So I decided to volunteer because I knew I would meet somebody that might could help me. And it's a lot of it is networking and being willing to do anything. Well, not anything, but, you know, almost anything to get your foot in the door.
Right.
That's just so important. And, you know, I can remember sitting in Tin Hoor in a political science class, one of my last class of the before I graduated, and it hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm graduating. You know, it was bittersweet.
Right.
It's like you're excited, but you're scared too.
It is.
Sad.
It is. It's bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much, you know, I entitled this show Graduation Angst, but I don't know how much you guys at the Career Center actually deal with that part of it. I mean, I'm sure we see, you know, at the Counseling Center, we see students that are really scared and worried.
Right.
And sad, even, because their life's, they're making another big transition, you know.
Oh, sure.
So, what's the difference between having a career and having a job? Is there a difference?
Yes, I think most people would say that a job is maybe a single opportunity of employment to earn money and maybe develop some skills. And a career can be viewed as either more of a series of jobs related in the same field, or maybe even just that one opportunity where you're really sinking in and you're investing time and mental energy because you know you want it to carry you forward.
Yeah, I think one is a long-term goal and one is a short-term goal.
Right.
Yeah. What about, what are the benefits of a college degree as it relates to employment and salary and mental health even? I don't know if you can speak to that. I can, but.
Well, you can, but I can give it a shot.
You can sure try.
At least from my perspective. All indicators are from the Department of Labor that the jobs that are going to be growing faster in the next decade require a skill set that is associated with a college degree. So I think in that case, the employment opportunities are going to be greater and the salary will follow that. Mm-hmm. The salaries will be greater. And I think with the mental health aspect, I'm sure you talk with a lot of students who feel this way, but it's such an accomplishment. For many, it's the greatest accomplishment of their life to finish college. And so they have that personal satisfaction. As they say, no one can take your education away from you. But I think just the job prospects being greater, the jobs that probably have greater benefits in addition to salary, that's got to be ease of mind, peace of mind that you have that accessibility.
And two, I mean, you mentioned actually graduating and can't believe that this is happening and all that. You know, I really recommend students walk through graduation. I didn't when I got my bachelor's degree, and I regret that. And I did with my master's, and it was way different. It was, you know, a real you know, it's a time for your family to be proud of you, and you get some attention. It's really a serious ceremony, and when you get there, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, this is serious.
Right.
Look what I've done. Kind of, it's very exciting.
It is.
What about you know? Is it, I don't know if this is the right way to ask it, but I've talked with students about feeling like, because there is so much competition, now that it's almost like a bachelor's degree is equivalent to a high school diploma in that so many people are getting one.
Right.
You know, I think students are feeling pressured to go to graduate school.
I think some are, depending especially on their field, and mm-hmm. we try to get them to think about that. It is a lifestyle change. It's a commitment for more intense work, certainly a financial commitment in a lot of cases. So we get them to really examine the why do you want to go? Mm-hmm. Is it a personal goal? Is it needed for your career? Versus would you want to go on and try to get a job and yeah. enter the workforce and then maybe make that decision?
Or they don't know anything else to do.
Right.
And they're like making a career out of being a student. Some right. people do that. I thought I was
no,
doing
it's
that.
Tempting. But, it's tempting.
Because it's a, what do you call it? It's a protective little enclave on a college
yes.
campus. And you can tweet that. That's what my husband always asks me. Can I tweet that? Yeah, that can be tweeted. Okay, I hear the music, so we're going to take a break right now. This is Brain Matters on 90.7 WVUA FM. We'll be right back. Hey, hey, this is BJ Gunther back with Brain Matters and I'm giving you a degree.
That's fine.
Have you? Lowry. Mary Lowry from the Career Center. And just before the break, we were talking about whether or not students may decide to go to graduate school or not. But what is the breakdown of, can you give me the breakdown of students who might seek full-time employment versus maybe going to graduate school or getting further education?
Well, our professional association, the National Association of Colleges and Employers, had an estimate of about 65% will go for full-time employment and about 29% will pursue graduate school. And I don't know the depth or the all who were included
in that survey. I would think it would be more pursuing graduate school. I really would.
Right. And again, I don't know the extent of this survey, but and I don't know where the other missing percent is. I guess they're just taking a cruise or something because that's
playing
video
games.
Yeah, that's it. That doesn't add up to be 100.
No,
so who knows?
I don't know. Is there a benefit for one over the other, in your opinion? I mean,
it
really,
I think it comes down to the individual and what their career plan is, because in some cases it is going to be necessary at some point, either right away or eventually, for them to do what it is they've set out to do. For those who just think, well, I'll get an additional coursework, we encourage them to really examine the choice to see if it is the right thing and are they ready for that intense study change.
You know, you got to think about, too, one of the first graduate courses I took, we talked about putting a price on education. Can you do that? I mean, I know it costs a lot, but if you get a good job right out of college, are you thinking, oh, I got a great education? And then if you don't, are you thinking the opposite, you know? I don't know.
Well, and it's patience and the job search for sure, but sometimes I think it's not until even a few years, maybe several years after you've graduated, that you can appreciate a lot of what your education has afforded you.
That's right. And where it can take you.
Right.
Yeah. First of all, tell us where the Career Center is. I should have asked you that first.
No, we have three locations. Our main office is 330 Ferguson. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Career Center at Culver House, which is 250 Bidgood.
Okay.
And then the satellite for the College of Engineering, which is in Bevel. And when in doubt, we tell students just come to the main office and we can direct
them
from
there. Can any student go, it doesn't matter their major, can they go to any of the offices? Do they have to be engineering to go to the engineering
office? It's better.
Okay.
It's better if they are because our consultants are aligned with different either colleges or academic areas mm-hmm. on campus. And so the person who has more expertise in working with engineering students is in the engineering satellite.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's unique. Don't you think, is that what other universities are doing? Do they have satellite offices of Career Center, or do they just have one central location?
I'm just curious. It varies, and I don't know what the split is, but some will have one main office, uh-huh. and then some are completely decentralized, so that every college has some type of career services that they provide.
Yeah. Wow. As much as we're growing here, I would think that would be the future for us, too, is to have more satellite offices, you know?
Yes, and we do try to have walk-in hours in different academic buildings to make it convenient for students.
That's a good
idea.
And
usually during the fall and spring, not mm-hmm. in the summer.
When it's the busiest.
Right.
what's the average length of time it takes a student to get a job after graduation? That's the magic question.
You know, and I've looked at different sites, and I'm seeing different numbers. I saw 5 on one. I saw 7, 10 months, all these being months. And what we try to have students remember is that these surveys do include students who are really taking a very passive approach in their job search.
Oh, yes.
That they're just sort of waiting for things to happen. And I do know that it also includes people who are being very proactive. Mm-hmm. And to those, I would say, be patient, continue doing what you're doing. And it's very important to keep a positive attitude, because I know when people have gone to interviews, for example, and things haven't worked out, they tend to feel frustrated and maybe even bitter, mm-hmm. and they just can't carry that into even a networking situation.
No.
They have to treat each situation as if they're very glad to be there,
yeah.
and they want to learn from it. And so we, to any student listening, any alumni listening,
yes.
We do want to work with you. We want to talk with you about what is your game plan right now.
If nothing else, just to give them hope.
Oh, sure.
You know,
right.
encouragement. I mean, there's a book, and I know you've heard of it, and there's probably a gazillion volumes or editions, I'll say. What color is your parachute?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I remember using that book and sitting down and having a plan and actually filling out index cards. You know, yes, I'm telling my age.
I remember it.
With the potential, you know, I listed everything on the index card. I had a system.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel like I was at least doing something, even though I got a lot of rejections. I mean, you can't be prepared for the rejection that you're going to get when you're trying to find a job.
Right. And I think you have to realize that that's just part of the job process.
Oh, yes.
And if you're doing something, we talked about volunteering. That's important, because not only are you taking action, you're getting up and you're doing something,
mm-hmm.
you're meeting people, and whatever situation you're in, consider it a networking situation.
That's right, because I know it costs. I mean, I know students can't afford necessarily, you know, or graduates can't afford necessarily to volunteer. You have to have money
right.
to support yourself. But that may mean working, you know, waiting tables or working at Home Depot or somewhere like that while you're part-timing it, volunteering in the career that you've chosen.
Right.
Because it will work.
Right.
People like to see that people are willing to take on any kind of position to, you know, get what they want and
right.
not be so finicky.
Well, between jobs, I did mm-hmm. a few part-time jobs and tried to just remember, take advantage for what you can learn from those
yep.
and the people you meet. And
yeah.
it goes on a resume.
Yeah, and I was telling you about my first job. Oh, my gosh. It was at a county hospital. I'll say it like a rural. That's hard for me to say. County hospital. And it was the hardest job I've ever had, but I learned so much. I was thrown to the wolves, literally.
Right.
But, you know, I have a lot of funny and good memories from that job. And it helped me get my other job, which led to another job. I mean, that's my dad always said, you know, he's always said it's easier to get a job when you have a job.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
And you want to consider every work opportunity is an opportunity to get a good reference.
Mm-hmm.
So just treat that job as
oh,
something
yeah.
that can serve you well in the
and
long run.
And don't burn bridges.
Right.
Because you never know. Career Center offers services to both current students and alumni. We've already talked about that. What services are typically used by either, like current students or alumni, when an alumnus,
I don't know
how to say that, comes to you guys, what are they usually searching for?
If they're a recent grad,
uh-huh.
it could be the same thing as a senior.
Okay.
We start off with just asking some questions. What have you been doing in the job search? Just to gauge where they are and
mm-hmm.
how we can best help them. The number one reason people come to see us, I usually have people guess this, but I won't have you guess it. But
oh, come on.
What do you think the number one reason that brings people to us is?
Directions. I'm kidding. They're looking
for
the SGA office.
No. They don't come to me if they want directions, that's for sure.
I don't know. That's a hard one. I would think it'd be what I originally said a minute ago, that they would want to see if you had any jobs available, like if you knew of any jobs available out there.
And that's one of them for
uh-huh.
sure, but resumes.
Oh, I forgot.
The number one
yes.
reason they come to us is to have a resume critiqued, but to write an effective resume,
uh-huh.
we need to know where it's going, or to
yes.
help a student write an effective resume. And
mm-hmm.
oftentimes we ask that question, and that turns into, I don't know. I don't really know what I want to do with my life, or I don't know what jobs I want to target right now.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes a whole nother topic, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk job search strategies. And I guess with most alumni who are out of school for a while, it could be a career change again.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago with the economy, it was maybe they had been downsized.
Mm-hmm.
But some just realized that they did not tap into what they most wanted to do when they were in school. They listened to others say, mm-hmm. well, you need to go into this field because that's where the highest growth is.
I've got some students that their parents are dictating what they are majoring in, and they are so unhappy.
We see that as well. And so sometimes we know that it's just a matter of helping them regroup on what it is they want to do, and then helping them write that good resume and learn how to interview.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was laughing about. Speaking of resume, I remember going to the Career Center here on campus. It was still at the same place, and a lady helped me, and I don't think you worked with her. I think she might have been retired by the time you probably started working there, maybe. And I can't even remember her name, but she was an older lady, and I went and I showed her my resume, and I had put University of Alabama, and she scratched that out, and she goes, young lady, that is, we are the University of Alabama.
There are some people
and
who
I
will,
remember that yes. to this day, you know. Oh, so that was funny, but anyway, we're going to take a break right now. And I think Natalie is about to turn the music on. So, but real quick while we're waiting, any recommendations for books?
Oh, goodness. You know, there's so many.
Or apps.
Apps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many out there. I think if I could give a recommendation, though, if I had airtime to give a recommendation.
Please, you've got it.
It is to look at the opportunities that are in line with your interests, skills, and values, and then realize there's strategy in writing a tailored resume, there's strategy in interviewing. We often say it may not be the most qualified person who gets the job,
mm-hmm.
it's the person who presents themselves to be the most qualified. If the employer does not know any of the candidates,
mm-hmm.
the one who comes in, who shows that they can see how they can help that employer, that's the one that's going to get the job. And come to the Career Center. We can help you with all that.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for
being
welcome.
On the show.
Thank
tonight. You for having me.
It was
me.
So informative.
I needed
a refresher course so I can send more people over.
Well, please do. We'd love to work with them.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. This is Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, hey, this is Dr. B.J. Gunther. We're back on Brain Matters with Dr. Lou Marino, who's a faculty member in Management and Marketing in the College of Commerce and Business Administration. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show. Were you able to hear anything that Mary and I were talking about as far as career development or issues with graduation or job market?
I heard a little bit about it, but, you know, what do you think are the most salient points there?
I think that students, you know, are a little bit anxious at this time of year, and we talked a little bit about it being bittersweet, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show, actually, is to talk a little bit about the job market and your area in CMBA and what you're seeing, too, because I know you're right in the trenches with the students, even more probably than I am sometimes.
Well, you certainly so. And I'm very fortunate because I get to teach a course of graduating seniors. And the graduating seniors is called GBA 490, and that's the business strategy class. And I had a wonderful class this semester. And we just had our final wrap-up, speaking of bittersweet.
Aww.
So we had a wrap-up class and talked about their futures and talked about that transition to a new career.
Yeah, and that's what we mentioned, Mary and I were talking about. It is a huge transition. It causes a lot of angst.
Well, it does, but I think an important aspect of it is you talked about a really important thing, the management of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. There's good and bad about the transition, but if managed correctly, it can make a huge difference in your job.
Mm-hmm.
And those first 90 days when you start that new job, if you manage it properly And if you do things correctly, you set a firm foundation for success. But if you don't make the transition from a student to a working professional quickly enough, you can set yourself up for failure in that first job, and you have to be very careful.
Do y'all talk about, in the class, do you talk about knowing when it's not going well? Do you know what I'm
Sure. We talk about some signs of that, and we do a bit of counseling on that. But really, you know, the idea is we talk to them about consciously managing those first 90 days. And, you know, there are hints, but most people, especially early on, the younger students are probably going to be just a touch naive about when things aren't going well.
Yes.
And especially because in some ways I think that we as a culture haven't done them a lot of favors with participation trophies, with things like with not giving them the harsh feedback when they need it, and doing those types of things. Because what happens sometimes is the students...
I like to call it coddling, but you know, that's kind of a mental health term, but okay.
Well, I think that's a good one. But you know, in some ways, our university system doesn't even support the idea of being able to give them that feedback, because at the end of the day, if you have a customer, and that's how we view students as customers, because they really are.
Yes.
You have a customer who isn't succeeding, and you don't want to give them harsh feedback necessarily. Some professors might not, because that student then gets to evaluate you, which goes on your record.
And let me tell you right now, you do not want one hot pepper on, what is it, Rate My Professor. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Rate My Prof.
And so the university does a lot of things exceptionally well, and I know they're looking into new ways to change the evaluation system of faculty members to allow us to give the feedback to the students, exactly what you said, so that we can give them indications of when they're doing well, when they're not doing so well, and more important, once you recognize that you're not succeeding, how do you recover?
That's it.
Because
I think that's the fear that students have is what do I do if I get in a job and I don't like it? Yep. And it's not what it...
Well, I get that call all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Actually, have you ever heard the Kenny Rogers song, The Greatest?
Can you sing a little bit
for us? Ma'am.
Kidding.
No, my daughter would
Natalie,
kill me.
Natalie, can you find that song in the bank of songs at music in, at 90.7?
Okay, so you'll find it, and I won't ruin it for you. You got to hear. It's a song you listen to the whole way through.
Oh no!
But it really, and it's a sappy, sweet song, and I play it at the end of my class, and I talk about the lessons from that. But the lesson, one of the lessons you get is what to do when you fail. And it talks about that, and you know, for some students, most of the time, failure is. Only there's a difference between failing and being a failure.
Exactly.
And so you need to recognize that. And the idea...
Because we've all failed.
Oh, and we will fail.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the nature of being human.
Uh-huh.
And the trick is sometimes meta reframing. Sometimes it's like Thomas Edison said, I didn't fail to create the light bulb 100 times. I merely found 100 ways that didn't work.
And you can tweet that too.
See? Mm-hmm. And when you put that on there, you basically say, okay, so it's not really an issue of did I fail in this job? It's I found that this career is not for me.
Yes. So you learn something.
I tell a story of a student this week who had a dream of working at a certain consumer products company.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it. It's what he wanted to do with his entire life. And if you talk the whole way through, it's what he wanted to do.
It's Playtex, isn't it?
Yeah, he worked so hard. But he worked so hard.
Aww.
And he got the job he wanted, and he got the internship. And he came back afterwards and said, Dr. Marino, he said, I don't fit. This isn't for me. And he said, it crushed me.
Aww.
But I found out when I got there that their culture is so strong and I don't fit that culture that this is not for me. And he went through a brief mourning period and he regrouped and he went and got a job at another consumer products company where he's been wildly successful.
So it's about resiliency.
Resiliency that's a very important term.
Uh-huh.
That kind of gets another thing we're talking about, entrepreneurship and resiliency.
Yes, about that, because that's why I wanted you to be on the show, to talk about entrepreneurship.
Because
your specialty.
It is, and a lot of our students are starting their own businesses. And a lot of their students are looking out and saying, is this the career I want? Or they'll say, and very rightly so, I'm graduating from college. I might have some student loan debt. They probably do, but I'm probably not married. If I fail... the downside is relatively low. So I'm going to take that shot at looking to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's especially great if they've worked in the industry a little bit before they've gone, so they have that knowledge. But resiliency is key.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know of no entrepreneurial venture ever that has gone exactly as the person wanted it to. And it's a matter of, which you have to balance resiliency and tenacity with a realistic expectation of the future.
And where does passion fit in?
Passion's very important, but you know, it's kind of funny because passion can have two effects on this. One effect is passion can drive you and make you want to be very successful. And some people will tell you to make sure you do something you're passionate about.
Uh-huh.
And that's good.
I think I know what you're going to say.
The bad part is sometimes you can be too passionate about it and you can persist beyond when you should.
Yes.
You see that show like Restaurant Rescue on TV and those shows where people are keeping their businesses and they shouldn't. They should sell it and get out, but they don't know anything else.
Yes.
That's a problem. Now, I have a former student who's very successful and he runs a motorcycle helmet wholesaler up in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Been very successful. And I can't tell too many stories on him because he might actually hear this at some point. But he has been a good friend of our program.
I don't know. Go ahead.
He's been a good friend of our program, and he pays for all his bills, motorcycle helmets. He's never ridden a motorcycle helmet.
Oh wow!
All right, never ridden a helmet. Of course,
he's never used one.
Yeah, he's never
a motorcycle.
He's never ridden a motorcycle ever.
Yeah,
because he thinks he doesn't. It's not his mode of transportation.
Right.
And some of the lines that he sells that he's incredibly successful with. Are also things he's not passionate about.
Hmm.
So he loves the deal. He loves being successful. He loves serving needs. But he'll do whatever.
Well, that's where you have to separate the difference between a business, because there's people who have business heads on them, and they're passionate, but they know their limits.
That's right.
I guess is what you're saying.
Well, they know their limits, but they're passionate about broader things.
Uh-huh.
You know, and sometimes, believe it or not, if you look at why people go into entrepreneurship, the main reason is not money. Money, when they do surveys, tends to be out of 10 reasons, it'll be 5.
Let me guess. Is it because they want to be their own boss?
That's a big one. Autonomy.
I remember the day I said that to my dad, and he said, you know what? No matter what the business is, no matter what career you choose or anything, you always have a boss. Even if you are self-employed, that customer is still your boss.
Your dad's a very smart man. And because...
Are you listening? I mean, I'm sure he's listening.
I mean, because fundamentally, mm-hmm. he's right. And that's one of the myths of entrepreneurship. One of the myths is that you get to be your own boss. It's a yes, but. Mm-hmm. You get to decide when you work and maybe how hard you work, but your employees become your boss too because you have a responsibility to them.
That's right.
Your customers, your family, you answer to a lot of masters mm-hmm. when you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And successful ones recognize how to balance those.
And sometimes, I know this from experience because I have a private practice in Northport on the side. And sometimes it is easier to work for somebody else than it is to be your own boss because there's so many responsibilities and things to worry about.
Exactly. And there's a lot
to... It's fulfilling, don't get me wrong. No, but
well, it's fulfilling. It's also fulfilling when you create jobs for other people, when you help others get what they need, and you can see what you've created, right?
Yes.
And that's why a lot of entrepreneurs never hire another employee because they feel so much responsibility for themselves that they don't want to bring somebody else in.
I get what you're
saying. And then when you start hiring people and bring them in, that changes the dynamic completely. And having to work with others, and that's very fulfilling as well, helping them fulfill their goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so being an entrepreneur can be incredibly fulfilling. It can also be incredibly challenging because there's a great line in Saving Private Ryan, when Tom Hanks is walking across one of the fields with his company, it was a platoon, I guess, is the right word, and they're complaining. And they turn to him and they say, why don't we ever hear you complain? And he said, because complaints go up and orders come down.
Oh, no, yeah.
And if you're a small business owner, there's nowhere up to go. So who you can complain to? So you get the stress, you get the burnout, you get the worry. So who do you share that with?
My spouse. I'm going to admit it.
Well, your spouse is very, very understanding because spouses do that for a while.
Yeah, and then they get sick of it.
They won't tell you because they love you. Right?
I don't know. He tells me a lot.
But it's challenging, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. You have to watch yourself because you don't want to lay that burden on somebody else too.
Yep.
And you got to do something about it.
It becomes all consuming, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is challenging. But so entrepreneurship as a career choice. It's a good one. And some people make it by default because they don't get a job. They don't know what they're going to do. They go out and start their own company.
Mm-hmm.
Others find something that's the best way for them to achieve what they want to do. I have a gentleman, a former student named Augustine Tristan, who works in New York in an investment banking company. But he loved Smoothie King when he went to the University of Alabama. And he got the idea to open up his own smoothie restaurant. So he went home to Mexico City. And he started his own franchise of Smoothie King, a smoothie company. Not Smoothie King, but he calls it Smoothie Booster or something. So there's no trademark infringements or anything. But he started their own chain, and he has two or three of those now. And so he's doing both. He works for an investment bank company in New York City, and he has that. And so it's awesome.
That's neat. That's really neat. Well, I hear the music, so we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We're talking with Dr. Lou Marino from CMBA, and this is Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, hey, this is Dr. BJ Gunther back on Brain Matters with Dr. Lou Marino from CMBA, Management and Marketing, to be specific. We're talking about entrepreneurship, and basically I want to ask some questions about the job market, if you can answer those.
Sure, I'll give my best shot.
How does the job market of today compare to the market, say, 5 years ago or even 10 years ago?
Well, what you're really looking at now, I think when you come out, is because of the economic downturn that we had, having specific skills is important in order to get hired. It's in some ways it's easier, in some ways it's more challenging. It's better now than it was 5 years ago, for absolutely sure.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago was tough. Even our best students weren't necessarily getting really good jobs coming out, because what you were finding is people were taking a step back in the economy and taking steps down. So those entry-level jobs that would normally be filled by students were being filled by professionals.
Right.
So, for example,
that had to support a family, even, yeah.
But you get this. So, for example, we have an entrepreneurship board that's very, very supportive of our students and what they do. And I had some students looking for internships. And one of the gentlemen on the board, who's very helpful and always does everything he can, said, it's hard for me to get your students an internship right now because we have professionals who have worked in this area for 10 years willing to do a free internship for me in the summer to prove themselves to try to get a job with us.
Because you can't compete with experience like that.
And that was 5 years ago. Luckily, it's not like that right now.
Good.
But 5 years ago, it was. And so they were having to compete against those people. And that was really tough. And that was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's changing. And we understand that to be successful, students need certain fungible skills that can apply to different areas. Because realistically, the number of jobs that a student graduating today will have is going to be much greater than the jobs that students had in the past. So 10 years ago, you might change careers 5-10 times during. And right now, estimates are it can be as high as 15 to 20 career changes that for a current graduate, for different companies they work for and all those areas they go in. So developing these fungible skills that can apply to different situations becomes critical. And that's part of your career management strategy. And that's really what you get back to, too, is some people let life happen to them. Some people manage life. And I think we all have those friends who maybe overmanage life a little bit.
Yeah.
And I can be one of those sometimes, to be honest with you.
I think I'm one. I don't know. Give me the definition, but.
Well, you know, if you're going on vacation, you know exactly where you need to be all the time.
Oh, gosh, that's me. They call me the cruise director.
That's not bad, but, you know,
you're guaranteed fun, though, when you go on a vacation with me, let me tell you.
That's important. But, you know, it's funny. You hear about these skills people need to be successful in the long run. And making sure you get them is important. And one of them you hear about all the time is critical thinking.
Yes.
But that sounds like a hackneyed term because you hear it so much, really. But when you take a step back and think, what does it really mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that means fundamentally being able to identify a situation, diagnose it, understand the opportunities and challenges present there, and develop a plan to capture it in a systematic way. And that's a lot different than just saying critical thinking.
Yes, you have to break it down, just like you did. Then people can understand it.
That's right. But having that skill is important. And in fact, an article on, Forbes.com is talking about the 10 skills that will get you hired in 2013. And they list that out of the
10 skills that will get you what?
Hired in 2013.
Hired, okay.
10 skills get you hired in 2013. And the first one they list there is critical thinking. And they talk about that out of the 10 most in-demand jobs, 9 of them list critical thinking as a skill they need.
Wow.
The next one is 8 is complex problem solving. And another one's judgment and decision making. And that's actually being able to weigh the costs and benefits of an action, right?
And decision making. And that's what I work a lot on with students.
Right.
You know, at the counseling center, because sometimes they don't trust their own judgment because, you know, sometimes they haven't really had the privilege of being taught that at home a lot of times.
Well,
not to blame parents, because
no.
Counselors are, you know, guilty of that a lot, I know, but it's the truth.
You know, and part of it is knowing when to trust their instincts. And mm-hmm. So my students probably laugh because I always find a way to work this in, but my daughter's a big soccer player.
Oh, no.
And she loves playing soccer. And her biggest challenge is overthinking things. Her coach will tell her, trust your gut and go with your gut on
yes.
and the saves. And when you, because a lot of times she'll hold herself back and she'll be just a fraction of a second off, which then causes her to miss, right?
Uh-huh.
Which then causes her to miss it. But the backside of that is once you learn to trust your gut, because your gut usually knows it, and I know most of the time my head gets me in more trouble than my gut.
Oh, yes.
And that's judgment, decision-making, right?
Mm-hmm. And it comes a little bit easier with experience because you kind of have to prove that your instinct works.
Right. And you also have to see the implications when you fail. And that's and that gets back to the lack of coddling.
Yeah, and one of the things that Mary and I were talking about that you probably didn't hear is about rejection. I mean, you're going to be – if you can't get used to being rejected and you're that sensitive, you're going to have problems.
Well, you're going to get rejected a lot, right? You're going to get rejected in the job market, your ideas, and it's how to depersonalize that. Because
yeah,
it's not,
that's a good way to phrase it.
Right, because it's not necessarily you that's being rejected. It is your idea. And you need to separate those things. A lot of times we can't separate the ownership. And entrepreneurs, going back to that, have that happen all the time. Do you know how many times Colonel Sanders had to try to sell Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Oh, now I'm getting hungry. I told
hundreds.
You. Yeah, oh my
Absolutely
gosh.
Hundreds, because people told him he was crazy. McDonald's, and they went to get investment from Wall Street, got turned down because Wall Street thought it was a stupid idea. And the only way they got funding from Wall Street was by doing it as an investment play, real estate play. That's why McDonald's has a business model
it
has. And so, because nobody wanted to invest in the hamburger company. And so rejection, even these really, really successful people.
Successful, yes.
Get rejected
yes.
all the time.
Yes.
Mm. And the difference between it, and we talk about this in the soccer club that I'm president of,
yes.
that the difference between being a champion and not being a champion, it's not that you don't get knocked down. Champions get knocked down all the time. The champion gets up one more time than they get knocked down.
That's true. Persistency.
And resiliency.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
The idea of stepping back up and saying, okay, I did it wrong this time. What did I learn from it?
Yeah. And, you know, I bet you're a very popular faculty member.
Sometimes.
Professor, I'll
sometimes.
Say.
Sometimes. It depends.
What other classes do you teach? I'm curious. Do you teach undergrads at all?
I do. I teach undergrads and I teach graduates. Undergraduate, I teach entrepreneurship. I teach a class in negotiations. I teach some international business. I like classes where students get their hands dirty and learn by doing. A lot of very much applied learning, because I think that's what students really need.
Yeah.
I also do, let's see, what else? I teach some doctoral seminars in entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm.
And MBA class, international business trips, all kinds of fun
How
stuff.
How popular is that major?
Entrepreneurship?
Yeah.
It's popular, and it's growing faster and
I
faster.
I bet.
And we have more people doing it across campus in different ways.
Uh-huh.
And our dean...
What do you mean, cross campus?
So, like Sue Parker.
Uh-huh.
And HES.
Okay.
Believe it or not, she is the most experienced entrepreneurship professor on campus. She has the longest tenure in teaching entrepreneurship about anybody, and she has probably helped more people get started.
And she's in HES.
She's in HES.
Aww.
And over in engineering, mm-hmm. we have Dan Daly and AIM, who's doing some really cool things, helping engineering students get their businesses started. We have Rob Morgan in the STEM program.
Yes.
Okay. And so it is blossoming across campus. And the College of Business is the only place to get it. And our Dean Harden, has been very good about making sure that we form partnerships and find ways to multiply resources so it doesn't become a scuffle for who's going to own entrepreneurship. The university owns entrepreneurship,
yes.
and we're all privileged to work with it.
Is there a graduate program in that? You said you teach GBA. Can you get a master's in it?
Not yet. What you do is you go into the MBA program,
uh-huh.
and you get your MBA with emphasis in entrepreneurship,
yes.
which some people say is contradictory. Because the MBA, by nature, a lot of times you teach quantitative skills to break it down and prepare people for corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And to get an MBA in entrepreneurship, you know, maybe you should be out there doing it. But we can teach you the skills. So we teach entrepreneurship as disciplined creativity,
oh.
as a process you walk mm-hmm. through. It can never ensure your success. But what it can do is it can make sure that you have the best chance of being successful. Because chance plays a role in entrepreneurship success.
Mm-hmm. Risk.
Risk,
chance, I mean...
things you can't change.
No.
Right? And, no. And that kind of gets back to these fungible skills. The ability to kind of look at
when
it...
When you say fungible, mm-hmm. what does that mean?
Fungible, I'm sorry, I apologize for that.
That's okay. I heard you say it a few times. Yeah. I was like, what is
and
he
so
talking
it's,
about?
It's the broader variety of situations you can apply this skill or resource to.
Okay.
And so a fungible skill you can apply to a number of different jobs. It's a fundamental basic skill. So accountancy, when they learn certain things in accounting, that skill is very applicable for accounting.
Okay.
But might not be as applicable for managing people.
Mm-hmm.
And so a fungible skill would be communications, being able to speak and clearly articulate yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? And also
yeah.
Being able to, that critical thinking skill, being able to take a step back and consider the situation. Those mm-hmm. are very, very fungible skills. And it's actually why you see the highest rate of entrepreneurship is among people who leave the military. they have a higher rate of entrepreneurship than other people in the area because those are skills they learn.
I can understand that. They don't have to. They already have them.
That's right. And those skills are very fungible. That's why people love hiring ex-military people who have been successful in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have these fungible skills.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline. Critical thinking.
Yes. Right? Problem solving.
Exactly.
Judgment.
Exactly.
Judgment's a big one.
Well, and hopefully they know career management. And that's something I think is important for students today when they leave.
Mm-hmm.
When they leave in those first 90 days, they've got to set goals for themselves.
Yes.
And they've got to think about where they're going to be in 5 years, where they're going to be in 3 years. And then every year on their birthday, they should take a step back and they should evaluate and say, am I going where I need to go? And actually, there's two questions. One is, am I going where I need to go? And if the answer to that is no, then the answer may be, is that still the right path for me?
Mm-hmm. Reevaluation.
Reevaluation mm-hmm. and reframing it. If the answer is no, then where's your new path? So we have students sometimes who come out and just are dead set and go into corporate finance or something like that. And they get out there and they realize, you know what? This isn't for me. I want to work in a not-for-profit organization. I want to do something more fulfilling that would be for me. And they leave and they do.
Yeah. It's better to do it then than to spend 10 years down the road and then realize it and have a family to support or whatnot and then change your career path, I guess.
Exactly. But the real key is making sure that you intentionally build your career and don't let it happen to you.
Yeah.
Now, you have to be opportunistic to some extent. When things come along, you got to see if they fit where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But having a good mission and knowing where you're going in the future, you'll know what opportunities to take and opportunities to pass up because mm-hmm. you can't do everything.
I'm definitely going to have you back in the fall.
Well, I'd love
we might need to even take a whole hour, you know, because I find that sometimes having two guests, mm-hmm. it feels a little rushing, you know, and we're fixing to close the show right now. But I really appreciate you being on, and I definitely will be in touch.
Well, I'd love to talk to you again. I've enjoyed it very much. And you know, one thing I want to pass on to your listeners and out there is if you have that entrepreneurial dream, do it. We hear so many ideas in business plan competitions, people who have wonderful ideas who never do them. And most times the people who are, you know, older who say, I wish I would have, instead of I'm glad I took the swing.
Regrets,
so,
yeah.
Yep, so
you
take
don't
that
regrets.
Swing.
Mm-hmm. As I said before at the beginning of the show, this is our last show. We'll be back in September. Thanks for listening, everybody out there who's listening. But I wanted to say we're going to have some new topics, new show topics, and some more guests. I still would like to push for the call-in format, but I just don't know if that's going to happen. I want to thank a few people that's made the show possible, though. Dr. Mark Nelson, who's the Vice President of Student Affairs. He's been very supportive. Terry Siggers of the Office of Student Media, my productions assistants, and student colleagues at the Counseling Center, Natalie Beck, who's handling everything tonight by herself because Jacqueline Nagel is feeling under the weather tonight, and she's not here, so we hope you're feeling better, Jacqueline. WVUA station manager Cliff Kyle, who'll be graduating on Saturday and looking for a job. So I'm going to promote him because he's wonderful. My two guests tonight, Mary Lowry and Dr. Marino. Also, I want to give a shout out to my colleagues. We call each other the Amazing Empathy Rangers at the Counseling Center. And to Dr. Bernadette Peters from Niagara University in New York for all her help and support in consulting with me about starting a show like this. Have a great summer, and thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next fall. This is Brain Matters on WVUA FM 90.7, The Capstone.